You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Monday, July 19th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Today's episode is brought to you by Locked On MLB Prospects. It's MLB draft season, and the Locked On MLB Prospects podcast is covering every future star of the MLB. Host Aram Layton brings you player interviews and farm system breakdowns every single day. Subscribe to Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. This is Nash Walker, writer at Twins Daily, lifelong Twins fan, bringing you 5 days a week coverage on the Minnesota Twins, recording immediately after the Twins blow game two of a doubleheader with the White Sox at Guaranteed Rate Field. Really happened fast, and it was terrible in game two. But the Twins, it was nice in game one, got a win. First, let's talk about a weekend in Detroit that was one to forget. I thought Sunday's game in Detroit, and this team has looked bad a lot this year. The 2021 Twins, have looked bad a lot this year, and there's a lot of games I can look back at, and they all kind of run together, the losses too, but that you circle and say, wow, are they bad in every facet of the game. I thought Sunday's game, you looked at starting pitching, Hap was awful. The offense was terrible against Wiley Peralta. You look at the energy was terrible. The defense was bad. They were just terrible on Sunday, like the worst I've seen them all year, just so dead, and like they'd given up, you know. That's unfortunately what they've looked like a lot recently and did this weekend. And they had a really nice four-game sweep last weekend over Detroit at home, where they came back and won games, but none of that in this weekend series with Detroit. It was ugly. And then they come back and get a win in game one today. It was nice, and extra innings, you know, Nelson Cruz doing what he does at Guaranteed Right Field. Lance Lynn was good again for the White Sox, signed a 2-year extension for $38 million. I mean, no-brainer. That's a great deal for both sides there. It's worth noting the White Sox payroll is already up to like $130, $135 million next year, but they really don't need anything. I mean, you look at their entire roster next year. If everyone's healthy, they don't really have a single hole on the team. So it would have been nice for the Twins to get a doubleheader sweep today in the first two games of this four-game set. And they do get a win in game one. That was great. And then game two, you have Barrios going against Ronaldo Lopez. And the Twins in Ronaldo's career have hit 13 home runs off him. And he has an ERA over 6 against the Twins. And I know this is a different Twins club, but he's a spot starter for them. And it's Jose for the Twins, who pitched very, very well last time out against the Sox. It's a 7-inning game. Sox are without Tim Anderson in the second game. He doesn't play. You just felt like it was a game that the Twins were going to have, not easily, but, you know, handily win, and it looked that way for a lot of the night. Mitch Garver returns, hits 2 home runs in his return, solo shots. Garv was great. I mean, Mitch Garver is having a heck of a year. You look at the year that he's put together after such a down 2020 and a great 2019, where he's one of the best, you know, hitting catchers of all time in 2019. And then 2020 was such a flushed year for him to come back and come back from this injury and immediately hit 2 home runs. I mean, he's a threat. And when he's on the fastball like he was tonight, he's as good as anybody. I mean, he's so tough. And to see Garv, I mean, his short little swing, his home run swing, there's like very few. It's like Max Kepler and Mitch Garver, because Kepler's got the beautiful left-handed cut. But Garver's right-handed swing, the short compactness of it, so powerful when he pulls the ball. It's just, he's a marvel to watch at the plate, and it's great to have him back. He's going to stabilize the catcher position a little bit. Ben Rortvedt gets sent down. I mean, I think it's been a tale of two different sides. Defensively, he's looked really, really good. His arm is great. He's a good framer. He blocks very, very well. You can't run on him. And offensively, just lost, completely lost at the plate. He's not ready offensively, and that's okay. That's okay for a very good defensive catcher. But he was so bad offensively that he's going to get sent back down, and it's going to be Jeffers and Garver now for a while in the catching tandem, hopefully, if they can stay healthy. But Rourke gets sent down. Garver's back up and just continues where he left off from injury, gets a couple solo home runs. Twins get on the board in the first inning. Ronaldo single from Arise. Luis hitting over 300 again, which is great. It's exactly where he belongs. Donaldson knocks him in with a sac fly after a 2-base error from Ronaldo Lopez. I mean, the Sox wanted the Twins to win this game in game two. They really did. Barrios was just dazzled. I thought Barrios, his stuff was top-notch tonight. You know, it's his last two starts, it's been really, really good. Wasn't the same last time he was in Chicago. I think this was three straight starts against the White Sox now. Actually, might be missing one in between there. But his stuff has looked really, really good. It looked great tonight. The command was awesome. The changeup command was great. That's the difference, because when his curveball is spinning the way it was today and his two-seamers moving the way it was, if he can command that changeup, he's going to be so tough to hit. And he throws a fastball inside to Abreu, and Abreu got around on it. Just, it was a great pitch, I thought. And Abreu, a really good hitter, got him a little bit for a solo homer. But other than that, Barrios was fantastic until the seventh inning when he lost it completely. And what we talk about with Barrios, what I've talked about, and we talk about a contract extension, you know, there's a lot of reports at the trade deadline with Jose and an extension and whether now is the right time to move him or to wait until he's a free agent to lose him. And so much of this, and I broke this down on an episode last week, just the entire Jose Barrios, you know, era in Minnesota, which has been really great. I mean, he's so fun to watch. He's electric. He's a fan favorite. Jose Barrios is awesome. The difference, though, between him who and others who have similar stuff and a similar character, and I tweeted tonight, he has the stuff and the character to be among the best in the game, but the difference between him and others is not the stuff. Like, he has the stuff. It's not like the drive. He has the drive. It's not this, you know, this mantra, he has it all. It's just the consistency, and I don't know what that stems from, but he just loses it for innings at a time, or even, you know, stretches of starts at a time, months at a time. We've seen in the second halves of years just kind of fall apart. And that's the difference, is the consistency, batter to batter, month to month, inning to inning consistency. And exactly that is what you saw in the seventh inning. Let's talk about what went down after the break. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball are all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline's your online sportsbook experts. With Major League Baseball, there's action every single day. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 50% off on your first deposit, or 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Excuse me. Thank you, BetOnline, for sponsoring Locked On and for sponsoring Locked On Twins. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert, the fastest and easiest way. Use promo code Locked On. So he starts Brian Goodwin off with a couple of fastballs and then curveball. And Goodwin hit a homer off him on a curveball in Chicago last start there. But Goodwin gets a single to right. Then he beans Andrew Vaughn, and then the Twins were in trouble. I mean, right away, we're in trouble up 3-2. It just didn't feel like they were going to do it. But he couldn't find it at all. Like, he lost it. Not even, you know, you might have, like, guys tire and they don't look as sharp later in games. Like, he went from dominant to awful in a matter of 15 minutes. Not even 15 minutes. It's like literally a flip of a switch for him. And that's what happens. Like, that happens to him. And this is not some one-off where it's like, oh, this is weird. This happens to him, where he'll have innings or he'll have months where the flip just switches. And it's like, whoa, what happened there? And how do we fix it? And how can we be more consistent? The Twins thought, you know, they in 2020, I mean, into 2020, that they'd fixed a lot of that by having Jose, you know, not work out as hard in the offseason to try to fix those second half woes. But I'm not so sure it's that. I just think there's something, I don't know if it's mental, if it's mechanically, if it's a mixture of both, where he just loses it in the middle of starts. And sometimes it's in the first inning, sometimes it's in the fifth inning, and sometimes it's in a deciding final inning like it was tonight. But he completely lost it, missed his spot to Gavin Sheets, down and in, right where a lefty wants, and he hits a three-run homer, ends this game with no outs in the seventh inning. It was just disastrous, and it's so much of what we've seen from the Twins this year. But it is... It illuminates Jose Barrios' main flaw, and to me, it is that consistency. I mean, that's his biggest flaw, and it's a big enough flaw to separate him from being a high-end number two and being a high-end number one, and that's a big difference, and I think it's big enough and big enough of an issue to be that difference, and I think you saw that tonight. The thing with Jose, I don't think him asking for ace level money is ridiculous at all. I mean, he said it himself. He's worked very hard to get here. He's waited a long time to get to this point of reaching free agency. I don't think it's ridiculous because he has it in him to be an ace, and he wants to be paid like an ace because he believes he'll get there, and he may never. And right now he's a really good pitcher. He's super fun to watch. You look forward to every start he has. His stuff is electric. When he's on, he's as good as anybody when he puts it all together consistently. But that's the difference, is that consistency. He's great right now, but could he be more? And I think he's betting on himself to be more, and that's why he hasn't taken Twins extension offers in the past. Probably really team-friendly extension offers, but I think a big part of that is the belief that we know that he has it in him to be great. And right now he's really good, but he has it in him to be great. And I think that's why you've seen him deny extension offers, or I think that's why you see him so excited to get to free agency, or at least wait another year until he decides what he wants to do. Because at one point, maybe it's all going to come together for a full season or for multiple seasons at a time where he's able to be consistent every 5 days, every inning, and every hitter, honestly. And, you know, no pitcher is perfect. You know, only Jacob DeGrom's really perfect. But the consistency is the difference between a 3.20 ERA and a 3.75 ERA. That's a big difference. Or a, you know, 3 ERA and a 3.60 ERA. It's a big difference, and it's very small, but it makes an impact, you know, on how he's viewed and how he's paid and how, you know, other teams value him. That is important. And, you know, it's going to impact the trade deadline too for him and what the Twins could get in return. But that just sucked. I mean, that just sucked. And it sucked all year. You almost grow numb to it. And I think I'm at a point now, like the game-to-game results, not against the White Sox. I want to beat the White Sox every time. But the game, and you want to win. Like, obviously, you want the Twins to win. But the game-to-game results are so much less important. But when things like that happen, when you blow huge leads like that in the last inning, it still sucks. And we've seen it way too much this year. I was hoping just once tonight they would get in a jam. And I was saying this in game one, too. Like, can you just get in a jam? And they did in the eighth inning in game one. Hansel Robles. And just get out of it with a win. And they did in game one, but I was hoping, like, it can start to even out over a season. You would hope that, but it just hasn't. You know, it continues to go in the wrong direction in terms of closing out games and finding ways to win. It hasn't happened for the Twins this year, and that's a painful loss, like as painful as it can get, honestly, to lose that way when you were rolling that well. Like, Barrios pitching so well, the Twins playing good ball. They could have added on. I mean, they needed to add on, and they didn't against the White Sox bullpen and against Reynaldo Lopez, so it's not all on Barrios. But the collapse in the seventh inning is certainly what is going to be the headliner here, and, you know, the reason, the majority of the reason why they lost this game. But it sucks. You move on. They got two more with the White Sox. It's going to be Keiko against Ober tomorrow, and then the series finale is Dylan Cease against Michael Pineda. So hopefully the Twins can get 3 out of 4 here from the Sox on the south side of Chicago. Let's talk about Griffin Jacks, how good he looked today in game one. More on Garver. We'll talk about Trevor Larnach's struggles. Let's discuss it all after the break. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar has 12 original flavors, but they've added 6 new flavors as well, and these improved Built Bars are even deliciouser. Plus, Built Bars are healthy. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, full of protein, full of fiber, and great for a keto diet. And the peanut butter bar, only 5 grams of net carbs for a type 1 diabetic like me. That is huge. Plus, right now, Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch, so listen closely. You get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you also get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. My favorite flavors include the coconut almond, the peanut butter, the banana bread. Use promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. And so much of what we talk about now, and I'm going to stand by this, and I'm going to say this over and over and over again. I don't think that the Twins are going to trade guys that are under control past this year. And Buster only said on Sunday Night Baseball as much that he doesn't believe that the Twins, and it doesn't sound like the Twins are going to make players available that are, you know, under contract past this year. I think that probably is a ploy. The Twins want better offers, and they're putting that out there. And if someone comes with a big-time offer for Jose Barrios, do I think they'll pull the trigger? Yeah, I do, but I think it has to be big. And I think it has to be enough for you to punt in some ways on 2022 for, you know, to want to trade Jose Berríos. But I think I'm going to stand by that. And I'm going to stand by that throughout. I'll get scouted. I mean, there are 12 days left. We'll see what happens. But I still think that it's going to be Nelson Cruz, Hansel Robles, Andrelton Simmons, those guys, and not Jose Berríos, Byron Buxton, Trevor, or Taylor Rogers, Josh Donaldson. I was going to say Trevor Larnach because he's on my mind. Trevor Larnach is going through it at the plate right now. He's been really bad over the last couple weeks, striking out, like, seems like in every plate appearances. In every plate appearance, it seems like we're watching a Miguel Sano bad streak. When Larnach's at the plate, very similar, just looks lost, can't make contact. He's not getting ahead. He's missing fastballs down the middle of the plate. Reynaldo Lopez threw him a 94-mile-an-hour fastball literally in the heart of the plate tonight. That's why Reynaldo's not good, because he does stuff like that. And Larnach missed it. I think he missed it twice and ended up striking out. He missed a fastball from Garrett Crochet right down the middle with the bases loaded and nobody out in game one in a huge spot. Missed another one the next pitch from Crochet. And I know Crochet's super tough lefty, but fastballs Larnach should be crushing. I mean, he should be crushing fastballs in the zone, and he's just not. He's very lost. The argument, there's a couple things, like a couple solutions. The Twins could send him down to St. Paul, which I think is not something they should do, and here's why. I don't think they should send him down or move him down the order. Against righties, he should be hitting third. And against lefties, he should be hitting up there too. And the reason for that is this is what you do in a lost season that we've asked, and I think Twins fans have asked so much. What are the changes that you would make this year that you wouldn't normally make if you were winning? And here's a prime example of that. Trevor Larnach is a part of the future. As bad as he's struggling right now, he's a rookie who's barely played above double A. He's struggling, period. The Twins are, this is a lost season. What do you gain by moving him down the order and moving up someone like Max Kepler or Alex Kirilloff? On a day-to-day basis, you know, you might have a better chance right now if Larnach's struggling to win that game. But in the long term, you're letting Larnach see better relievers later in games, being in the heart of the order in between Donaldson and Cruz. You know, pitchers are dialed in for that part of the order. You don't want pitchers taking breaks against Trevor Larnach or Alex Kirilloff. You want those guys to get the best and to see the best and to learn and to adapt. And that's what you're looking for this summer. It's not going to be pretty. It never is linear with prospects. And Larnach was off to a great, great start. He's going through it right now, kind of crashing back down to earth. But none of these things are unexpected. And as great as they've looked, Kirilloff's gone through it at times too. You know, he started the year 0 for 18 or whatever it was. It's going to happen to these guys. You know, they're going to hit into outs, hard hit outs. They're going to strike out a lot. They're rookies. And as you know, great of prospects as they are, it's a little bit different being in the major leagues. And they're adapting and they're learning. And this is all part of that process. And I don't think you're going to gain anything by moving Trevor Larnach down. He has the confidence. He knows he's a great hitter. It's not about that. It's just about making adjustments and adjusting back to the league and finding it. I think I don't think they need to make any rash decisions with Larnach with the way the season's going. And if you're going to say that you don't care about the Twins winning or losing and you understand this is a lost season, it's hard to complain about Larnach hitting third or Kirilloff hitting fifth or whatever, because why not? That's my question. Griffin Jacks looked great today, and I've been thinking more recently as I watch Jacks. Slider is nice. I mean, the changeup played well today too, and the fastball was carrying more than usual. I saw some tweets about that. His fastball had more carry in the zone. But I wonder in my heart, if Griffin Jacks wouldn't be a good like middle to long reliever, kind of like Cody Stashek, if he just went fastball slider, because he's been so good the first time through orders and you know a little bit through the second time through orders, but he's kind of fallen apart in the fourth, fifth, and sixth innings of his starts. And I think I've said this before about like Bailey Ober, but when you have guys who don't throw, and Ober's a little bit different because he gets that extension. Jacks is a lot smaller. He's not even close to as tall as Bailey Ober. So Ober's fastball, I think, will play up a third time through an order, or like late second time through an order in the middle innings. I don't know if Jacks has the stuff to do that as a starter. And I think that's what we have to learn about him. I thought he looked really good today for four. I wonder, though, if he wouldn't benefit from being like a long reliever. And they're not going to do that right now in the season like this, but I just think about that long term for him, because it just seems like his stuff plays so well for a couple innings. And then it just, you know, it doesn't when he gets through the order that second and third time. And that's true for a lot of pitchers, but they could get out ahead of this. And like his fastball would play up out of the bullpen 94, 95, probably instead of 91, 92. His slider would play up. He can go fastball slider predominantly. They can match him up against righties. And I think he would find a lot of success back there. I don't think they're going to do this now. I don't think it's the right move to do now. I think they should continue to look at Griffin Jackson and see him the second and third time through orders. But I wonder about that long term for him. And I think, again, it's different with Bailey Ober, who also throws 91, 92, and he can get up to 93, 94 because he has that extension and because he has such great command of his other pitches. I like Griffin Jacks. I think he has the stuff to get outs at the major league level and to strike people out. You saw today at the major league level. But I just think about his future, and I think about if he wouldn't benefit from that and if the Twins wouldn't benefit from moving him to the bullpen and just going to a two-pitch mix. And his changeup did look good today. So that's why you continue to look at him this season as a starter and see like what he can give you, from his three pitches and others a couple times through the order. But that's something to keep in mind with Griffin Jacks. I thought he was great today. Really nice start for him. Again, Mitch Garver, fantastic in game two. Super excited to have him back. Super excited to have his bat back in the lineup against lefties. I think you're going to see him lead off against lefties again, which is great. Can't wait to see that. And I'm excited to watch Mitch. I mean, I love Mitch Garver, and I'm excited he's back and healthy for the Twins. Thanks for listening today. Have a great day. Go Twins. Tough loss tonight. Hopefully the Twins shake it off and come out and play hard tomorrow and get 3 out of 4 from the Sox here on the south side. But as we say this year, don't expect a ton. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day. Go Twins. Follow me on Twitter @NashWalker9. Follow the show @LockedOnTwins.